Mainers remember President George H.W. Bush. As people all over the world watch and listen to the funeral services for the 41st President of the United States of America, many people here in Maine feel a special connection to the man, a personal connection. George Bush came to Walker's Point in Kennebunkport, Maine, pretty much every summer of his life. For many of the people who knew him here in Maine, he wasn't simply an important political figure, but a human being who ate at local restaurants, visited coastal towns on his speedboat, hired gardeners and electricians, and liked to play golf. He also just chatted with people he encountered while in Maine. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Did you know George Bush? Did you ever run into him? Even if you didn't, did he affect your life in any way? Feel free to share your story here. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. World leaders and American citizens converged on Washington, D.C. this morning for the state funeral for President George Herbert Walker Bush. The funeral service has just concluded, but we continue remembering the 41st president today on Maine Calling. President Bush and his wife Barbara were part of Maine's community. We talk about what this place meant to them, and we hear from those who knew them. Joining me from our Augusta studio, Mal Leary, Maine Public's political correspondent. Mal, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Jennifer.
And as always, we want to hear from you. What do thoughts, excuse me, do you want to share about President Bush? Did you ever encounter him when he was in Maine? Did you know him? We want to hear from you. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Mal, I especially appreciate you joining us today on what I know is a very busy day in Augusta as the legislature winds into action.
Yes, they are. It's a joint convention of the legislature. They're actually sworn into office. And it was really difficult because several people mentioned that today is a national day of mourning, but the legislature had no choice because the Constitution dictates when they have to meet and be sworn into office. So they had to go forward, even though there was a clear indication bipartisanly that if they could have delayed today, they would have.
Maine, you've covered politics for a while now. Tell me about how you encountered President Bush. When did you first start covering him?
I first started covering him when he ran for president in 1980 against Ronald Reagan. And there were several other Republicans running that year, but they seemed to be the two principal candidates. And, of course, he did a couple of events here in Maine because it's easy for him to do that with his base at Walker's Point. So that was the first time I met him, thinking to myself, well, this is interesting. We've got this guy from Texas and who summers here in Maine going up against the governor of California. So it was an interesting campaign. I would say that his speech at a couple of events I covered was pretty much his foreign policy speech, which was what he later went on to become known for as president. It was a very interesting election. As you recall, President Reagan won the nomination, of course, and then turned around and asked George Bush to be his vice president. And that led to a lot of press conferences and visits at Walker's Point over the 8 years that he served as vice president.
How did he treat the press when you covered him at Walker's Point?
Incredibly well. There would always be delays, as there are at political events that we've all covered. You know, things don't quite happen on time. And, you know, he would always come out and say, sorry, couldn't get here quite when I wanted to, but I'm here now and I'm ready to answer your questions. And, you know, he would answer national questions, but he also answered questions about his involvement in Maine and the Maine community and whether he was going fishing and how the fishing had been that morning. So it was an interesting mix of questions at those news conferences. And one I remember well was It was in the fall, and it had started to get cool, and we're all out there waiting for the vice president to come out and hold his news conference, and out comes Barbara Bush with hot chocolate and warm chocolate chip cookies.
Ooh.
So I would say that the Bush family treated the news media pretty well during those days.
That's not something you encounter very often as a reporter on any kind of assignment.
Not at all.
I'm going to go to... Go ahead, Val.
I will say I've had a couple governors have me over for a beer at the Blaine House, but that's far different.
I'm going to go to Jason, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Jason. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks. Well, I grew up in Kennebunkport and actually represented Kennebunkport in the legislature in the early 90s, but I never had the chance to meet President Bush. However, I was an intern working in Washington, D.C., in Senator Mitchell's office in 1989, just after Mitchell had become majority leader and Bush had been sworn in as president. And my first week on the job, I got a call from the president, who was calling to speak with the majority leader. And I was an intern in college, not really knowing what to do, and I put him on hold, which was definitely against protocol, and then proceeded to make a mistake and actually hung up on him. So that was my little interaction with the president. The next time he called back, the office manager took the call and made sure it wasn't made again.
That's a wonderful story. Thank you, Jason, for calling and sharing that. I want to go to a little piece of tape we have here. President Bush gave a speech to the Kennebunkport Chamber in 1989 when he received the Outstanding Citizen Award there, the same year Jason is talking about. Here's a piece of that.
It's a wonderfully warm feeling that we get from all of you, our neighbors in Kennebunkport and Kennebunk Beach and, of course, Kennebunk. And it's a special time for me being here. We are doing some work, but I have confessed at the very outset that this is a pure, total vacation. And I'm not going to look busy in order to convince people in America that it's something other than a vacation. I mean, it's the way it is.
President Bush famously loved to boat and fish in Maine's waters. He makes reference to that in his Kennebunkport speech as well.
I'm not going to comment on the fishing. A vicious assault on my... vicious assault on my ability. I'm going to call the editor of the Portland paper, however, and present this to him. How would he call it? This morning, we got up and through what was a rather heavy fog, went down to Whistler off Cape Porpoise and then on down off of Woods Island. And here's my position. I was driving the boat, placing the boat so that Sandy Boardman, who was with me, could catch a bluefish. And she did. And I think they should knock off that advertisement on the front of the Portland paper that shows the bluefish with a big X through it, telling me that yet a 13th day I haven't caught one. I'm gonna appeal to them on that one.
And Mal, what President Bush is talking about is how rough the papers were on his fishing ability.
Shall we say that the president had mixed abilities there, that some days he was really lucky and many days he was not. And I remember well what he was referencing there was the paper had this running graphic on the front page dealing with the president's attempt to catch a bluefin and had not been successful. And I believe he referenced that it was up to like the 13th day of his vacation at that point that he had not caught a fish. And he wanted credit for his helping this woman that was with him catch a fish. That clip sounded so much like George Bush. It was just amazing.
We're going to go to a voicemail we have from Annie Kennedy. She's the Bush's family gardener in Kennebunkport, and she has many fond recollections of President Bush, who she says was always warm and down to earth to her.
One of the things that was a delightful memory to me was I had also done not only their flower beds, but their vegetable garden. And President Bush had come and said, "Annie, what are you doing, old gal?" And I said I was planting. And he said, "What are you planting?" And I said, "Well, I've got some, you know, Brussels sprouts." And he made a face. he didn't like cruciferous vegetables. And then I said, "I'm also going to plant potatoes. Would you like to help?" And he said, "Sure." He said, "I've never done it, so what do you do?" And I gave him some spuds, and I told him that he needed to throw them, you know, certain amount of space apart into this trench that I had already dug. He was in a wheelchair with his crazy socks, and it was like he was playing darts. His mouth was in a circle, and he was concentrating, and he was throwing the spuds into the right position with great accuracy. And so he said, "So when are they going to become potatoes?" And I said, "Well, come back in September." And in September, sure enough, he came back. I just said the potatoes were ready, and I gave them to him in a basket. And he had them in his lap, and he said, "Bar is going to be surprised," which I thought was so sweet.
We're going to have more from Annie later in the program, but we'd love to hear from you. Do you know, or did you know, President H.W. Bush? Did you encounter him when you were in Maine? Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We have another piece of sound. This is from Tom Bradbury, the executive director of the Kennebunk Conservation Trust, a friend of George Bush.
Hi, this is Tom Bradbury from Kennebunkport. We in Kennebunkport are deeply saddened by the passing of President George Herbert Walker Bush. He devoted his life to the service of his nation, from war hero to president. And like the nation, we will miss the sense of his duty, honor, and civility that he and his generation so admirably represented. We will miss the way that he would reach out to friend and foe alike in an effort to do what was best for the land as a whole. We will miss the wisdom he exhibited in knowing when to stand up for principle and when to step aside and let others shape a commonly desired future. We will miss his quiet voice and the steady course he tried to steer us towards a kinder and gentler nation. Here in Kennebunkport, we will also miss him as a friend and a neighbor. This town, he was quick to point out, was his anchor to windward, and he loved it in a way that was steeped in generations of family memories and traditions. This was where he could play and pray and tighten the bonds of family and friends. As the waves rolled against the rocky shore by his seaside home, he could let his mind wander back to the countless happy days of his youth, or he could look into the eyes and hearts of his children and grandchildren and dream of what could be. It was where he gave and received love freely, a place where he could rekindle the fire within him for the many challenges he was destined to face. We will miss his love for his wife, family, community, state, and nation, his great good humor and fun-loving spirit, his generosity, competitive spirit, and inclusiveness. We will miss his decency. We will miss him. May God bless you, Mr. President. You have served us well, and we are all enriched for having walked a little bit of this path with you. Thank you.
Mal, are people talking about President Bush at the State House today?
They certainly are. At least a number of lawmakers have mentioned him, particularly some of the lawmakers, I would say, that have come back at having served here before and are reminiscing about some of the times they actually had a chance to meet and talk with President Bush. So, you know, there was some of that going on in the hallways this morning. There was a lot of sort of concern that they had to be in session, they had to meet today, they have to be sworn in on this national day of mourning. That didn't sit well with a lot of lawmakers, but they knew they had to do it. There was no way to change it because the Constitution, state Constitution, you know, absolutely sets this day as the day in which the legislature has to meet for the first time and be sworn in. So there was that sort of discussion in the hallways.
All right. We have an email from Corrine. My late husband, Paul Sewell, beginning in 1987, worked out of Perkins Cove, Ogunquit, for Finest Kind Cruises. I believe they still run passenger boats, two lobster boats and one party boat at the time I'm referencing. Paul was from Stonington, Maine, and grew up fishing, primarily lobstering. One morning, he was out with a boat full of passengers when a speedboat approached his lobster boat. Apparently, then, Vice President Bush's boat had cut off a lobster buoy, and this was the Secret Service coming to pay for the damage at Bush's request. We were impressed and pleased that we'd take time and consideration to make this amends. On July 4th, the Finest Kind ran boats over to Kennebunkport for the Bush's fireworks display. A nice memory. If you have a memory, why don't you send us an email or give us a call? Our email address, talk@mainpublic.org. Our Twitter handle, @MaineCalling. You can post to our Facebook page or give us a call. 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. Mal, I have a President Bush story. When I was a weekend anchor at the local television station, I didn't have to be to work at about 2 or 3. And one morning when my son was little, we went over to the Portland Jetport to watch the planes land. That's what he liked to do when he was 2 or 3 years old. And a plane landed that said on the side, the writing on the side said, Czech Republic. And I thought to myself, that's not a plane that usually lands at the Portland Jetport. And I sort of thought maybe it's Václav Havel visiting President or former President Bush. Well, later that day, I got into work and I called the office at the compound. I think it was somebody named Jim whose name was on the Rolodex. And the phone rang and rang and a man answered it. And I said, oh, hello, is this Jim? And the man said, no, this is George Bush. I was startled, of course, but I told him the story about how I'd seen a plane land at the Portland Jetport that said Czech Republic on the side. And he said, why, yes, Václav Havel, his wife and daughter, had a lovely lunch with us here at Walker's Point. He paused and he said, young lady, you have yourself a scoop. So I was not a brave or quick-thinking enough reporter to ask him many other questions. I was still so stunned that he had picked up the phone. But he said, oh, I picked up the phone because I was walking down to the boat and I heard the phone ringing in the office. I knew no one was there, so I went in and I picked up the phone.
There were so many stories like that with President Bush.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your comments and questions. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Evergreen Home Performance, offering energy-efficient windows and insulation to help homeowners achieve year-round comfort. More at evergreenyourhome.com. By Welch and Forbes, customized investment portfolios, private trustees, family office services since 1838, welchforbes.com. And CEI, helping grow good jobs and sustainable enterprises with financing and business advising services, ceimaine.org.
We always think of economic growth as a good thing, right? But with growth comes consequences.
It's polluting the waters, creating a hole in the ozone layer. It's deforesting the land.
But what if there's a different way?
A circular one, in which the waste from one process becomes food for the next.
Creating circular systems? That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
You can listen tonight at 11 on Maine Public Radio. Maine Public's podcast Shortlist is now getting underway. The Shortlist provides access to a wide range of Maine's most informative, interactive, and entertaining podcasts, from politics to craft beer and everything in between. This week's featured podcast episode of the week is Experience Maritime Maine's Salts and Water podcast, Women Lobstermen of Stonington. Do you have or know a podcast created here in Maine that would be a great addition to the podcast Shortlist? Send your suggestions to shortlist@mainepublic.org. The Maine Public Podcast Shortlist is at mainepublic.org. Click on Podcast Shortlist under our radio tab.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, remembering President Bush and his connection to Maine. Joining me, Maine Public's political correspondent, Mal Leary. We invite you to join the conversation and share your thoughts or memories about President George H.W. Bush. Phone number 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You could also send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll listen now to another clip from President Bush's speech in Kennebunkport from 1989.
This is a place where we really enjoy ourselves, but more than that, kind of refurbish our souls and get our batteries all charged up and enjoy life really to the fullest. It's a point of view. You can feel it in the land and in the water here. And I know that people that are members of this chamber and other visitors that we have here with us understand exactly what I'm talking about. I've been coming here every summer since I was born in 24. And the only one I missed was the summer of 1944 when, like many of you, I was in the service. It's the only time that we've missed being here. And there is a certain magic about the place. Our kids live in five different states, one in Cape Elizabeth and the others four different states. And for them, this is an anchor to windward because not far from where this picture was painted, my mother was born in a house still standing right there not too far from St. Anne's Church.
Mal, we've been hearing that expression a lot this week, anchor to windward.
That's the very Navy nautical nature of George Bush, who, of course, served as a naval aviator, the youngest at the time in the service. In World War II, and he had 58 combat missions, which, you know, a lot of people bringing those facts out now, but a lot of them were lost back in the earlier times, and people didn't realize that, indeed, he was one of the greatest generation, those folks who served in World War II.
We'll go to Donald, who's calling from Searsport. Hi, Donald. Go ahead.
Oh, hello there. Yes, I'd just like to relate the story. My son and daughter-in-law live in Kennebunk, and they work at the Cape Arundel and the White Barn Inn five-star restaurant, and the Bushes frequently dined at both, and frequently he'd have my daughter-in-law push in a wheelchair. So I'd like to wish him fair winds the following seas.
Donald, thank you for calling and joining our conversation today. We'll go to Harry calling from Bangor. Hi, Harry. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. So I was at a corporate event at the Sea Dogs game and several years ago. And ironically, the former president was there. And, of course, everyone attending the event could see that he was there and knew who he was. And we were all kind of enjoying just that. And then, you know, you're at a baseball game. And so someone had the idea, geez, I wonder if he'd sign some baseballs. And so we got the attention of one of the Sea Dogs folks because no one, frankly, had the guts to go over. And he was more than happy to sign several balls. And I have one, actually. And I just thought it was great that, you know, you could be at an event like that. And he is the kind of guy that would take the time to do that for, you know, some excited Maine folks. And I just thought I'd relay that story.
Harry, how many years ago was that?
Oh, I was trying to remember. It was in the 90s, I'm pretty sure. So quite a long time ago. But, you know, we were all in you know, kind of in the bleacher seats, kind of way up. That's what the Sea Dogs do for those kind of corporate events, and he was down in the you know, the somewhat nicer seats, but he was absolutely not offended in any way and signed several balls that were handed out to employees, and it was just really a neat thing.
Thanks for your call, Harry. Mal, thoughts on Harry's memory?
That sounds very much like President Bush. One thing that we've heard a lot about as people have been reminiscing over the last few days is his propensity to write out handwritten thank you notes. And I am fortunate enough to have one of those. And it was really kind of funny. In my career, I've been both a print journalist as well as a broadcast journalist. And I had written a feature story based on some of his comments about fishing off Walker's Point and his use of his cigarette boats to go fishing, the very fast boats. And it was just really funny because he just said, "Thank you for a very nice story, George Bush." And I thought this was, you know, really unique till I started looking into it and found out that he sent a lot of those out to a lot of people for a lot of different things, having met them, having had lunch with them, political contributors, political supporters, and the occasional reporter who he thought had done a good job.
Harry, thank you for your call, and Mal, thanks for telling us that story. You know, not all of the comments coming in were are positive. Michael on Facebook writes, "I'm remembering right now how we're all rewriting history and reminiscing about the Bush presidents as funny old grandpas. In reality, they both promoted an agenda of covert and not-so-covert war and terrorism in foreign lands with brown people." Mal, why do you think the coverage this week and today is so positive?
I think it's because of the person, not his policies. George Bush just inherently was a nice guy, and that came across whenever you met him and talked with him. And you can certainly disagree with some of his policies, particularly when he was CIA director and we were involved in some pretty questionable activities in South and Central America. But, you know, those sort of policy questions, I think, have been set aside in a lot of folks' minds where they're saying, we're really celebrating a guy who has made tough decisions as president, but at the same time was a nice guy. And I remember George Mitchell telling me the story when he was majority leader and had to deal with George Bush, that he said, you know, you can't stay mad at George. You know, you go over there and you'd fight about a tax bill, but in the end, people would, break bread together and move on to try to solve the issue. So I think that's what you're seeing, is people remembering the person more than his policies.
We'll go to Butch calling from Kennebunk. Hi, Butch. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a story to share about 41. When I was a younger man, I was a lobster fisherman out of Saco, Camp Ellis, and I met Mr. Bush out there on the water. And one day, I knew where the fish were most of the time because I spent all my time out there. And one day, Mr. Bush was fishing outside of Wood Island, and I knew he wasn't going to catch anything, so I motioned the Secret Service boat over, and I said, "Is he looking for bluefish?" And they said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, he's in the wrong spot. He needs to go in on the beach around Old Orchard." And they said, "Okay." So they took off. And then they came back and said, "Can you show us where this spot is on this chart?" And I said, "Yes." I showed them. And they took off. And maybe an hour later, they came back by at about 600 miles an hour. And they buzzed me. And George was standing up with two big bluefish in his hands. And the other half of the story is he were out there another time, even out deeper water outside of Wood Island fishing, and I knew he wasn't going to catch anything. The bluefish were gone. It was kind of late in the season. So I motioned the Secret Service over again, and I said, "He's not going to catch any bluefish today, but I would like to offer him some lobsters off of the Lucky Strike." That was the name of my boat. They said, "Well, we'll ask him." So they moved away, and then they came back again, and they said, "He said yes, but we're going to stay right here until he comes over. Is that okay?" I said, "That's fine." So Mr. Bush moved his boat over. They moved away, and it was early in the day. Of course, he's an early bird like myself, and I only had about a bucket of lobster. So I gave him the lobsters, and he grabs his jacket from the seat and said, "Here, you might get the, well, I'm not going to say the words. He said, "You might get the crap end of the stick, but take this." such a wonderful man. The jacket he gave me was from the National Baseball Hall of Fame, Cooperstown, New York, and underneath their emblem, it said Vice President George Bush.
Bush, do you wear the Butch? Do you wear the jacket?
Once in a while, I do.
Well, thank you for calling and sharing that wonderful story.
It was wonderful. I got to shake the Vice President's hand. His wife was on the boat. And I believe there was another man on the boat. I don't know who he was, but
thank you so much.
Thank you for your show.
Mal, I love that Butch says, of course, we were early bird. We heard a little bit about that today during the services.
Yes, and he was well known for that. In fact, I had the privilege of riding in on the Coast Guard Bark Eagle into Portland Harbor for the parade of ships, in which former President Bush rode in on the Coast Guard ship. And it was so interesting because he was chiding some of the Coast Guardsmen because they couldn't pick him up earlier in the morning than they did. That he had, he was ready to go, and he certainly could have started further out to sea and spent for a longer cruise aboard the Eagle. And I'll tell you, that was a very interesting experience to come in to the harbor for the parade of sails on the lead craft, if you will, with former President Bush aboard.
We have an email from Beth. I live in Kennebunkport. When my middle son was about 3, 25 years ago, we were having lunch at the Lobster Place on Cape Porpoise Pier. Sitting on one of the outside benches, the president's boat pulled up and the chatter dropped. "What's going on?" my 3-year-old asked. I told him it was President Bush pulling up in his boat. My son stood up on the bench, looked over the railing, and said, "Well, let's go." He jumped down from the bench, raced out of the eating area, and charged down the ramp just as the president was walking up. He darted around the Secret Service and grabbed the president around the legs and looked up and said, "President Bush!" The president bent down, patted him on the head, and said, "Well, hello, little fella." A few years later, I was in the pharmacy with my older son, who was then about 10. President Bush was speaking with a pharmacist. We politely waited, and then I introduced him to my son. The oldest looked up, and as he shook hands with the president, said, "I believe you know my brother." President Bush, always kind, said, "Yes, I think I do." I have bumped into President Bush many times over the years, but this is the memory that sticks. Many people in Kennebunk and Kennebunkport have memories like that. We are going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we'll hear from a close friend of President Bush's. This is Maine Calling.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does the law offices of Joe Bornstein, a statewide practice representing injured and disabled Mainers since 1974. JoeBornstein.com.
On the next Fresh Air, Rock Hudson's double life. He was a leading man, a Hollywood heartthrob in the 1950s and 60s. But he was gay and had to hide that from the public. He died in 1985 of AIDS-related causes, which was a turning point in public awareness of the epidemic. We'll talk with Hudson's biographer, Mark Griffin. Join us.
You can listen to Fresh Air this evening at 7 on Maine Public Radio. And coming up at 2 p.m. today is Ideas from the CBC, Inconceivable Future, the Ethics of Having Kids in the Face of Accelerating Climate Change.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we are talking about President Bush and his ties to Maine. Joining me, Maine Public political correspondent Mal Leary. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. On the line with us now, Owen Wells, an attorney and vice chair of the Lieber Foundation, was also friends with President Bush. Owen, thank you for giving us a call.
No problem. I'm pleased to do it.
Oh, and I understand you would have been at the funeral today, but you're here in Maine recovering from surgery.
Yes, that's exactly right. I would have been there.
What is your connection to President Bush?
Well, it really goes back to the time when the Maine Medical Center Board decided that it wanted to name its pediatric hospital after Barbara Bush, the Barbara Bush Children's Hospital, and I was the vice chair at the board at that time and became very friendly with the Bushes. And for the last 25 years, that has has continued.
Do you have any anecdotes about him, any personal insights you're willing to share?
Well, I obviously have a number of experiences. I went fishing in Canada with him and had great delight. He took great pleasure in the notion that when Sam Walton started Walmart, he gave George Bush a card that allowed him to be a member of Sam's Club. And whenever I happened to be at Walker's Point, he always had a bar right close by, and while you would might pour yourself a drink, he always wanted you to know that he was serving Sam's best, which happened to be popcorn or goldfish or some silly things like that as an hors d'oeuvre. It was just a mark of the man.
What do you hope people will remember about him?
Well, anyone who watched the funeral today, the people who spoke, they were far more eloquent than I could ever be. And it strikes me that everything that was said is so true about him. And those are the things that I would want to remember.
Oh, and do you have... have you made any kind of, I don't want to be too personal, but having watched the funeral and having reflected on your friendship, any personal commitment going forward to President Bush?
Well, all of us, I think, would be well served to try to emulate his approach to life. That all goes back to his mother, whom I also knew about. Clearly, he had a sense of self, and whether it went back to the war or to his family, whatever, clearly he wanted us all to be better at leading life than others might do.
Well, Owen, thank you so much for taking the time to call in today and heal quickly. Owen Wells, attorney with the Libra Foundation.
Thank you so much.
We'll go to Dennis calling from Topsom. Hi, Dennis. Go ahead. You're on Main Calling.
Hey, good afternoon. What a great great man. What a great top, that's for sure. Listen, you know, I'm a commercial photographer and have a couple of remembrances of the president. One in particular was when I got a call to go down to the Portland Jet Port. And, of course, it was clear a couple of days before to me to be there. And the press was put on a flatbed. So they were off the distance when Air Force One flew in. But I was photographing for a group of Australian pilots who were rebuilding airplanes and then flying them back to New Zealand, I think, or Australia. So these and they had a bunch of Foster's beer in this hangar. So they were going to do a meet and greet with the vice president. And so when he came off of the, off the airplane, he walked into this crowd of fellas waving cans of Foster's beer and shook hands with them. And of course, these guys wanted their pictures taken with him. So, you know, I ended up taking these photos of him, and they whispered to him about this, that, and the other. And the vice president walked off. And the next thing I knew, they said, "We're going on to Air Force One." And somehow or other, they had gotten permission to walk over with one of the pilots, and a couple of them went on board, and I got to stick my nose in there. Couldn't take any pictures, but I got to stick my nose in there, and it was really just a hysterical time. And then my other remembrance of him was, and he was so gracious on that day with these Australians, it was just that you could tell he was a very genuine man. And on my other occasion, he was retired, and Bowdoin College called me up and said he was coming over to watch one of his granddaughters or someone who was going to Colby, ironically. They were playing a soccer match, and so, you know, I got permission. The security people allowed it. I sat within 5 or 6 feet of him and watched him enjoy the game. And some of the students came up from Bowdoin and wanted to ask him and interact with him and ask him questions. And he was very gracious with them. And then nearing to the end of it, you know, he looked over at me and he smiled and he said, "Is there anything more I can do for you?" And, you know, I knew that that was time. You know, I was done. But one of the students came up to him and asked him, and I thought this was particularly memorable. She said to him, she said, "For all of your years of public service, do you have any thoughts for me or anything like that?" And the gist of it was he told her as a young person it was her chance in the world to take over, and that he had done what he could in politics for 36 years or some such thing. And then he very graciously said, and just pay attention and vote, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, I really did enjoy the way that he interacted with those college students, and he was truly a great man.
Dennis, thank you for calling with your remembrance today on Maine Calling. We're going to go now to former Maine Public reporter Jay Field. Hi, Jay. I'm so glad you were able to call in today.
How are you, Jen?
I'm great. And the reason you're calling in, Jay, is that you're related to President Bush, a cousin, and have attended the funeral today, correct?
That's right. He's a cousin of mine, and he just came out of the church, and I have to say it was one of the most moving, beautiful events I've ever attended.
How would you like people to remember 41?
I think he was beautifully captured by the eulogies that were given today, the remembrances. He was such a kind guy. He really, really had a lot of, you know, empathy in his personal relationships with other people. You know, it's funny, it didn't always come across in his sort of campaigning and public speaking, but, you know, there are countless, you know, family members who have personal notes that he sent to them over the years, and he's, you know, obviously a legendary letter writer, and he was just a very, very special person. And I think everyone here who traveled here, it's an enormous family, probably 200 to 300 plus extended family, and everyone's got favorite memories, and I think everyone was, you know, genuinely moved by both the service today and getting to go visit with him a little bit privately yesterday at the Capitol Rotunda. So it was pretty incredible thing to experience in person.
Jay, I understand this is a really emotional time for you. Do you have it in you to share maybe a story that you haven't before?
Let me think. You know, one story that or a fond memory that kind of stands out from when he was in office. I was a student at the time at Colby College, and another cousin of the president's was also a student at Colby, and the two of us and a couple friends actually spent a day down there one day. There, I don't know, listeners may remember that back in the fall of 1991, there was a terrible hurricane nor'easter that blew through the state, and at the time it sent boulders and sand and all kinds of debris just crashing through the windows of their house in Walker's Point. And so we one day decided to go down there, and he was up there with Secret Service detail and staff and whatnot. And we just spent the day, you know, helping them pull and drag and all the debris and rocks and everything sort of out of the center of the house. And it's a memory that I'll always hold dear. I think he was happy we pitched in to help. And, you know, when we were done, he pulled a money clip out of his pocket and gave us like $20 to go out to lunch. And I don't know, that kind of amazed me. I wasn't under the impression that the President of the United States carried money around with him. But anyway.
Well, Jay, I really appreciate you calling in, and our condolences, sincere condolences to you. I know that President Bush meant a great deal to you.
He did. He did. And, he meant a great deal. He loved the state of Maine. And, he was a pretty unique leader, I think, in the country's history based on the war record and everything. He was just, I think we thought he lived forever. You know, it's hard for a lot of us to imagine, you know, him not being around anymore. So
thank you, Jay.
Yeah, thank you, Jen. Happy to do it.
We'll move on to Karen calling from Kennebunkport. Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
Hello.
Oh, shoot. Karen, you're completely breaking up. I'm going to hang up and hope that you can call back again.
Can you hear me now?
Go ahead.
Hi. I just had to get back to work, but I love your show. I listen to it as much as I can. I live in Kennebunkport. I moved here in 1994. 1994 after having been in the Air Force. And the first time I met Mr. Bush was walking into a local restaurant in Cape Porpoise called the Wayfarer. And he was there, and I just couldn't help myself. I walked up to him. I think I saluted him, too, and I babbled something about having been in the Air Force and so proud to have served under his command. But he just put me at ease, you know. He just looked at me and was so kind and made me feel like we had known each other for 20 years or that we were really the only two people in that restaurant. And that's the kind of person he was. He was friendly. He was kind and thoughtful. And all of us here in Kennebunkport who have met him feel the same way, I think. Many of us do. He will be missed. And he certainly made an impact in my life. So I just wanted to say those few things.
Karen, thank you for that remembrance. Malice, he had a special place for those who served.
He absolutely did. And he would always chide you when he found out that you had served in the military because, of course, to him, the Navy was everything. So if you had served in the Navy, as I had, you kind of got notched up a little bit on the president's scale compared to others. But he always showed every single former or current member of the military with great respect. And that was always impressive in the times I saw it.
We'll go to Bruce from Ogunquit. Hi, Bruce. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. How are you today? I have an interesting story. I never personally met President Bush. However, indirectly or directly, he pretty much is responsible for the growth of my business because I had started a fledgling business in the middle 80s, working with cheese, doing importing and distribution. And I had a really good customer of mine called the Tipsy Mouse, who's no longer in business, but she was in Kennebunkport, and she knew the Bushes. And President Bush used to shop at her cheese shop regularly. And one day, and the woman who ran the cheese shop became a very good friend of ours. And one day she called me up on the phone. She said, I need you guys to work. I know you're capable of doing this. I need you guys to work on something for me, or actually for President Bush. I said, well, what is it? She said, he really would like a horseradish cheddar spreadable cheese that they can use for parties and get-togethers and what have you. And can you guys come up with something? Of course, my mother was a very well-known chef, and we chatted about it. She said, yeah, we can work on that. So a short time later, I called back Linda, who ran the cheese shop. I said, I think we got something that the president would like. She said, great, bring it over. She says, let me call him. She calls back, says, yeah, we need about 10 pounds worth. I said, fine, bring it over, and we'll get it to him. Well, she calls me up and says, got a call from the Secret Service. They said that the president was very impressed, loves your cheese, and wants more of it. And I thought that was interesting. So long and short of that story is we were making our horseradish cheddar spread, which is now we package it. It's in supermarkets and what have you. Hannaford, people have it. And he used to place orders regularly. Every time he was in Kennebunkport and they had any kind of a get-together or a big event, we would get an order for, you know, 20, 30 pounds of our horseradish cheddar, which we sent over to President Bush. And I never met the man, but I used to get the constant accolades and thank yous from Linda through, you know, that was sent down through the Secret Service. And it was because of that connection right there that we actually ultimately went into production of that cheese.
Well, and Bruce, have you marketed as President Bush's fat cheese, or is that just sort of?
Well, we have it. It's not something I ever like promoted or, you know, bragged about or what have you. I just, you know, it's just something, you know, because of the events of what's happening this week, I was thinking about it, you know, listening to your programs, like, you know, how he has touched all these different people in the state. And I thought, gee, I got to call in because, you know, the man touched me. He really was the catalyst for us to produce this product.
Well, Bruce, thank you for calling with your memory. I appreciate it. We'll move on to Linda in Freeport. Hi, Linda. Go ahead. We're short on time, so if you can tell your story quickly.
Sure. Okay, so my father and George first met when they were in an orientation class. George had just been elected senator in Texas. My father was administrative assistant to Stanley Tupper, congressman from the 1st District. So they were in an orientation class. So fast forward to the 80s when my father's installed in Augusta at the Calumet Club, and he was being named Man of the Year. To my surprise, George Bush was in attendance. Now, I realized today that he was vice president at the time. He sat at a table by himself, quietly observing, and it just strikes me that this demonstrates his great depth of caring for other people. My father was a person from Augusta, Maine, from, you know, a French background. He was not a rich man, and I'm just very moved by it.
Well, Linda, thank you so much for calling and sharing that. And Mal, before we go today, do you have any final thoughts what are you thinking now as you balance covering the first day of the legislative session and thinking about George Bush?
Well, it's been, you know, a remarkable few days as we've seen all of the tributes pour in, the various instant specials on the TV networks, reminding us of how much he accomplished, particularly in foreign policy, during his one term as president. And, you know, some of the most incredible changes in our lifetime, the collapse of the Soviet Union, the first war where in Kuwait and Iraq. I mean, some amazing things occurred in that 4 years. And I was thinking back on that.
Well, Mal, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. That's Mal Leary, Maine Public's political correspondent. Here today, Lucy Suchek ran the board. We had additional help from John Keimel. You can find past editions of Maine Calling, as well as a link to our audio archives at mainecalling.org. Today's program will be broadcast again tonight at 8. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, people who choose not to have children. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.